Is this what happens when God abandons us?
Nice.
Welcome back, everybody, to Something Interesting. This week, we're sponsored by PiratesAren'tReal.com. Arg Pirates Real? Come to our website and find out.
What?
PiratesAren'tReal.com. All right, last week, we talked about the Ship of Theseus and the things that could come along with it, such as consciousness, death, and the afterlife, and simulations. We also talked about the Facebook situation and talked about the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, them listening into us, and our privacy. So, Joe, you got anything to... follow up on real quick?
Yeah, I'm gonna follow up on the way that you started this. What, pirates aren't real?
It's our sponsor this week.
What? Are you sure about that?
Yes.
I didn't hear about this.
Well, I got the email this morning.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I promise.
Uh-huh.
Would I lie to you?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
Probably.
No, you're lying to me.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, anything else you want to add on to these situations?
No, not... to what we talked about last week.
Not really. I think everything was just, it was set in stone. I think we got all of our ideas out. I didn't find anything new.
Neither did I.
So how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
All right?
Yeah, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm with you. We're recording a podcast.
Man.
It's not bad. Life's good. Life's good.
Could be worse. All right, Antonio.
What's up?
You, I've heard, through the grapevine, went to a public high school, yes?
Yeah, I did.
Did you? And how was that experience?
It was as best as public high schools could go, which means...
as best as public high schools could go. Would you like to rephrase that? Remember, it'll cost you 15 points.
I will not give up that 15 points, and you'll have to decipher what I mean by that. Make you go on like a little bit of a Da Vinci Code sort of thing.
Anyways, tell me about your time in high school.
It was standard, I guess. Uh-huh. I mean... what do you expect from a high school? Above par schooling, being with a whole bunch of kids that don't really care what they're doing, just no motivation when it comes to schooling because I don't think public schools have a good atmosphere for that. Really, as best as public schools could go.
Okay.
Why? Well, you went to one as well.
I did go to a public school, too.
We went to the same school.
This is true, yeah.
How was your time there?
Probably about the same as yours. However. Something.
Comma.
A lot of public schools have issues with drugs, yeah?
Never heard of that.
You've never heard of issues with drugs in public schools?
Never.
Never once.
Public schools have no problems with drugs.
# cleanest campus.
Okay, so they have a problem with drugs.
Anyways, so through my interactions with drugs, never having done any myself, but
saying it that way doesn't help your case. But go
no,
on.
No, it doesn't. But I'm going to say it anyways. But so I recently acquired an interest in how these things affect you on a biological level. Drugs, more specifically. Marijuana. Mary Jane, the devil's lettuce.
The most popular drug in America at the moment right now.
Is it?
Very hot topic. Hot topic. Hot off the press.
Anyways, so I figured we could talk about the active ingredient, so to say, in marijuana, which is tetrahydrocannabinol.
THC for short.
Yeah. And how that affects your brain.
I would love to hear about that today.
All right. First off, I'm going to ask you, though.
Yeah.
We're going to start off controversial.
Hey, yo.
What is your thoughts? What are your thoughts on legalization of marijuana?
I think, personally,
mm-hmm.
as a boy, an American boy, I think it should be legal.
Yeah? Why is that?
From my own experiences and from the research I have done, which is minimal for sure, but I feel like enough. Is that there aren't many disadvantages to this being illegal. It actually has more disadvantages because, well, let's just take the two drugs that are available to us, tobacco and alcohol. Those kill. So cigarettes themselves cost 480,000 deaths per year.
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol has sort of the same death rate as well. But marijuana... has never killed anybody. No one has ever overdosed on it. Maybe some accidents have come from being impaired, but it's not I guess you could say it's marijuana's fault itself, but it's mainly the user's fault, in my opinion. And it's, with just the fact that these drugs are legal, doesn't make sense to me why marijuana itself is legal when it's a much safer drug.
Okay.
Also, there's a bunch of tax benefits, because if we tax the, not the hell out of it, but if you look in places like Colorado, they tax their marijuana, and they have revenue. They have a lot of revenue when it comes to that.
Okay.
So from a tax point, boom, get that money. So I think it should be legal. What do you think?
So I don't really have an opinion on its legalization status, but I do have an understanding of its effects versus the effects of alcohol and tobacco. So anything that you burn and then ingest is a carcinogen,
right?
Based on my understanding.
Yes.
So even though there's not like straight up carcinogens put into it, like there are in cigarettes, it's still cancerous to inhale.
Of course.
So that's saying that it's never caused a death. Kind of a blanket statement where maybe not directly causing a death in the way alcohol can, or but more in the way that cigarettes have, where it can have long-term effects on your body.
As far as I know, the it's sort of unlikely to get lung cancer from smoking. Many people go through life smoking and nothing ever happens to them. But taking that chance and applying it to marijuana, it is an even greater, less of a, what am I trying to say?
It's even less, of a threat.
Yeah, even less of a threat than that. So for sure, it could cause cancer, but I don't, I would like to actually see how
my
how
point,
often that causes, but I know.
All of these three all kind of grouped together. None of them are good for you.
No.
Just at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's effects of them that can be beneficial in certain situations, but it's like getting an x-ray. Getting an x-ray is terrible for you.
Right.
You're just irradiating your body. But we decide that that radiation is worth it for the benefits that it can create.
Right. Pros outweigh the cons.
Exactly. So, when you smoke, what happens is you take in certain chemicals that affect the chemistry in your brain. What I want to do today is I'm going to talk about the way that this works. This, I'm going to point out to anyone listening, is going to be a fairly video-heavy episode. So if you're listening right now on SoundCloud or iTunes or...
Stitcher.
Stitcher. Yeah, yeah, we're on Stitcher now. But if you're listening on any of those, you might want to go to the YouTube version to listen, or we'll put the videos individually in the show notes. So what I'm going to start off by doing is I'm going to start off with a little bit of a diagram, give a little bit of background on the way that a cell works. If you are just listening to this, you should be all right, but I am going to draw it. Should help for some clarity. All right. So you start off, you have your cell. So basic diagram of the cell. It's kind of just a round thing. Then inside the cell, there's subunits. The one that's kind of most obvious looking at a cell through like a microscope is the nucleus. And then inside, there's other organs that are in there, like the endoplasmic reticulum, the Golgi apparatus, just a bunch. They're called organelles. They're smaller parts of the cells that perform functions within the cell. So then in the cell wall here, which is the outermost part, you have two layers. It's called the bilipid layer because you have a lipid, phospholipid, fatty acid, where it's got two tails that come off of it like this. And you have a whole bunch of these all next to each other on both sides. And it creates the cell wall here. So it's two layers like that. Then beyond this, you have a protein or an enzyme that transfers from one side of the cell wall, comes down, and to the other side of the cell wall. On the top of the protein that's exiting the outside of the cell, there's a bonding point that's a specific shape made to accept a specific molecule. So something will come along called a ligand. That's the shape that fits into the binding point. It fits together kind of like puzzle pieces. This changes the shape of the protein that's transferring through the cell wall and it makes it into an activated state. Once it's activated, it sets off a chain reaction that's happening throughout the cell, and it gets to the nucleus. The nucleus does things, and it goes back out of the cell, signaling to other cells to perform this reaction too. So what happens is, after the ligand binds and it changes shape, the ligand never enters the cell, because the cell, the ligand, although it gives a signal to the cell, might not be good to have inside of the cell. Like how if you see a knife, you know that there's probably danger around, but you don't want to have the knife inside of you, because the knife itself could be dangerous, even though it's a signal of what's going on outside. What happens is it produces dopamine, mm-hmm. and a lot of people know the word dopamine just because it's something that you hear associated with pleasure and drugs a lot.
It's because it's so dope.
It is so dope. And then what happens within your brain? Brain cells are shaped kind of different. Most cells, they're fairly round. This marker is running out.
Changing colors.
Most cells are just fairly round. Different cells for different types of tissues have different shapes, and they have the nucleus, they have the other things going on. So a neuron, or a brain cell, what it has is it's got kind of an interesting shape where it's almost sort of like a star kind of pattern with lots of antennae coming off of it, and then one long tail with a bunch of like roots kind of. So you have your neuron, your brain cell, which then connects to another brain cell by transferring down here. This connection, where the roots attach to another cell, is called a synapse. So dopamine is a molecule that's produced in the brain, and the buildup of dopamine help an area of your brain fire these synapses more quickly. So like with cocaine, your brain produces a lot of dopamine, which makes things happen more quickly. So that explains their erratic behavior. Mm-hmm. Now, if in marijuana, it affects a lot of what we know about it is just like from a layman's point of view is you get kind of like relaxed sort of feeling. And it's because where the dopamine buildup happens at in the brain is in areas that stimulate activity for relaxation.
Okay.
Those kinds of things.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you personally ever experienced this phenomenon? Oh, no, you have not.
No.
You have not. You stated that you are not a drug user whatsoever.
No.
I'm such a good boy.
Not me.
Such a good boy.
I just think it's interesting that
mm-hmm.
things like this happen in your body all the time so quickly, and you never even are aware that they're going on.
Right.
But it's constantly thousands of chemicals in a single cell mm-hmm. being processed every single second, transferred in and out of the cell's membrane, things happening, chemical reactions happening inside of the cell.
Mm-hmm. That is always cool to think about that, how even just one process like that can be interesting to look at, but then there it's happening mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of yep. times through your brain,
yes.
through your mind, at like an instant pace, mm-hmm. sort of. Take some time, but that's just it's very cool.
Unappreciably quick that mm-hmm. it's happening to you. So beyond this, another thing that this makes me think of is the way that you're able to contract and expand your muscles okay. in order to move.
Right.
So it's a similar process within your brain. So external stimuli go through your eyes and are processed by your brain. Certain chemicals are released and are transferred through your nervous system. Certain chemicals are released, processed by cells that send an electric signal through your nervous system to muscle cells. Certain proteins are built by muscle cells that makes the cell able to get shorter and longer to contract and to expand. That way you can move your skeletal system. And it's, to me, just straight up impressive
mm-hmm.
that through all of this time, such advanced things are able to come from such a simple process of life. Because really, everything is made up of atoms, of elements. something that we can study directly. Mm-hmm. But when you look at me, when I look at you, it's not the same as a bunch of chemicals reacting in the test tube, right, in our own brains. But what I find most impressive about this whole thing is that it's all of these reactions coming together that are able to build a full person.
Right.
Then beyond this, just an organism in general is able to evolve over time within a cell. So we're going to draw our cell again, this time. So we look into here. We have the nucleus. What happens in the nucleus is where all your DNA is kept here. DNA is the instructions for how to build more cells. So you have your just DNA kind of in strands here. And there's certain enzymes within you that copy the DNA, replicate it, and are able to build more cells out of it. The other thing that your DNA tells you is what proteins this specific cell needs to be able to make. So when there's a certain strand of DNA and there's certain parts of the DNA that attract a specific enzyme, which is known as RNA polymerase. So this enzyme binds to the DNA, it travels along the DNA, reading it, and it shoots out what's known as mRNA, which is similar to DNA, meaning that it has all the information on it, but it's like when you're building a house, you have a certain document that you're never going to take to the construction site. It has all of the information that actually is super important on it. So the DNA is the instructions you're never going to take to the construction site. But you make a copy of that called mRNA. So the RNA is ribonucleic acid instead of deoxyribonucleic acid. So deoxyribonucleic acid is ribonucleic acid deoxygenated. This has the oxygen on it. So it produces mRNA. So it scans this, pulls out of the cell other chemicals, builds a strand of mRNA, and it shoots that out. Beyond this, then the mRNA is taken out of the nucleus, and it's floating within the cytoplasm, which is kind of just what the empty space in your cell is made out of. It's floating through the cytoplasm now, and a new enzyme protein binds to it, which is called a ribosome. So the ribosome now will bind to the mRNA, and it goes through and it reads this again. So at this point, you have a different kind of molecule called tRNA, transfer RNAs, which are just small chemicals with certain, they're shaped kind of like, a lot of people call them like a power drill. And on the very bottom, where normally the cord would attach of the power drill, there's three certain nucleic acids, which match up with the nucleic acids that the mRNA is built up with. The ribosome goes down, the mRNA reads it, and it brings in a nucleic acid attached to the tRNA, attaches to it, and out of that, it builds a whole nother strand based on, there's a chemical, they're actually called amino acid. So one tRNA goes, it matches up with what's on the mRNA to put here. Then the ribosome will move on. This is still attached. Another tRNA will come and attach itself again. So these both have amino acid groups attached to them. And what will happen is, or the first TNA that attached will transfer its amino acid group to the second one, building this chain of amino acids. These amino acids, all connected, build what's known as polypeptides. And polypeptides, either on their own, are a protein, or come together to build a protein. So what I think is interesting about that, as one protein reads a strand of DNA, it's reading code that could potentially make the kind of protein that's reading that code.
So this long and arduous process that we just went through.
Yes. This happens.
Was all to contract a muscle, and it happens all in split second times.
It's not. The part that we went through explains the proteins that are built that allows a muscle to contract. Because there's certain proteins within a muscle cell that allow it to contract and expand.
Okay.
For skeletal movement. All this happens so quickly, and you have no idea that it's going on this tiny, tiny level on your body.
I think, no matter how cool it is, it's something that you just can't appreciate to its full.
No.
It's like, we can look at it like that, but there's a part of us that like can't conceptualize it,
yep.
Sort of.
I know exactly what you mean.
So it's like, I'm looking at this and I'm watching it like, oh, wow. What?
Yeah.
Oh, this, I mean, I understand why this is cool, but I can't appreciate it that much.
No.
Which is kind of upsetting when you think about it.
Yeah.
It would have been really...
That's it's just a difficult thing to kind of think about how much goes on all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So what we could do to think about how much goes on inside of a cell, if you think about a city, like New York, right? It's one big area. It has distinct districts, distinct parts of it. And there's things that move people from place to place within it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on.
Right.
If you're in an airplane flying above New York, you're just going to see a city. There's not a whole lot going on there. But once you get down into the city of New York, you realize there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm. And everybody and everything that it takes to make this process run smoothly.
Exactly. That's kind of the way that a cell is. You can see a cell from the outside. You can see the human body. But you never really realize how much is actually going on.
Every cell is a city.
Pretty much, yeah.
Get that on a shirt.
Every cell is
across my neck. Every cell is a city. I'll appreciate it every time I look in the mirror. I'll also have to read backwards at that point.
That's true. Get it tattooed on you backwards. Every cell is a city.
I don't get neck tattoos. I just want to say that.
No, I know what you mean. I don't understand that.
Okay. You have, like, tattoos all over.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, the canvas I need is my neck.
Yeah.
That just seems like, at that point, maybe you should stop for a second and reevaluate what's going on in life. I'm never going to judge anybody, so you shouldn't do that. Personally, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know I would never get a tattoo that I couldn't hide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much because I'd be ashamed to have this tattoo. It's just, there's like a stigma against tattoos within our society where you see someone with tattoos and you look down on them.
Right.
So like trying to get a job or something like that, you appear more clean to this other person with a tattoo. So I'd have to have it somewhere where it's like I could put a shirt over or something. I don't really have an issue with people having tattoos.
No, not at all. I love a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
See, there is always that argument of, you know, tattoos are seen this way and it could limit your job options. But as far as I can see, I don't know how it's going to be when we're older, as the stigma, it seems to be not deteriorating in a sense over time. I mean, it'll be 30, 40, 50 years before it could even be to a point where everybody has a tattoo and nobody would really mind, I think. But I think as we get older, we're going to see a lot more people with tattoos or these kind of things. But there is a thing on body modification that I'm not a fan of. Gauges?
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about those real quick. They're fine. Don't get me wrong. But when they protrude from your ear so far that it's distracting,
yeah.
I think that's kind of gross.
So, like, with gauges, usually they say 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter.
Mm.
If you go that big, the hole in your ear will never close up again.
Right.
So you have a hole straight through your body now.
It is the ultimate committing to a bit.
Exactly.
If you think about
you're
it.
You're just committed now. But smaller than that, and it will close. Me, I don't understand piercings.
At all?
No.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
Like, even with a tattoo, what happens inside your body with a tattoo, the particles of the ink are so big that what's in your body can't break them down. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly trying to get this tattoo out of your body. But they can't. It's a so it's permanent. Yeah, it just stays there. It might fade over time a little bit right. because there are probably some particles small mm-hmm. enough. I haven't looked into this too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, the skin breaks down mm-hmm. to an extent.
But it's in a layer of your skin. And even though your skin's constantly regenerating, it's not in the top layer of your skin, which disappears. Mm-hmm. It's in the constantly growing part.
Right.
But it's so big that it can never be removed from your body without the particles being broken up.
Right.
Which is how tattoo removal works. But,
Isn't tattoo removal like where they basically break it down enough to where your body can break it down?
Yeah, that's
naturally?
My understanding of it. Okay. I don't know exactly how it works, but if I would have to imagine, I would think it's probably the way that breaking up a kidney stone works,
okay.
where it's sort of like an ultrasound. They shoot sound at it, and it'll break it apart. Mm. So I'm assuming that works the same way with the ink in a tattoo. I don't understand, though. With piercings, why do you want to put a hole through you so you can stick something in it?
Okay. I couldn't tell you saying it like that, I could not tell you mm-hmm. why. I could tell you the aesthetic pleasingness of it.
Pleasure. The aesthetic pleasure?
You know what?
What?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you got it. Yeah, the aesthetic pleasure of having a piercing of some sort. Mm-hmm. Like what I've wanted, but I probably will never get, is an eyebrow piercing.
Okay.
There's something about that. Do I know what it is? Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see that and imagine it on myself in that imaginary sense, I feel it's very aesthetically pleasing. If it happened onto me and I actually got it, would I like it? I don't know. I think I would.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, piercings can be nice if they're subtle, in a sense.
All right.
If you have like cheek piercings, you ever seen those?
Like what
in
kind
the middle
of
cheek?
Like it's just goes straight through?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
I do not like those whatsoever.
No. Or like people who get cheek gauges mm-hmm. and they gotta like cork them up to eat.
That
don't understand that at all.
That's just messing up your life. That mm-hmm. is not even like on your ear an aesthetic yeah. pleasure. That is messing up your whole entire life. But those like indent the cheeks in a weird way that I do not like very much. Or people, I've seen this and I don't know if I saw this correctly. But I'm pretty sure a guy got gauges on his nipples. Like
gauges.
Protruding outward.
Wow.
I know.
That's intense.
It was at Kalamazoo.
Okay.
And I saw that. I saw him once and I kept seeing him and I was like, I can't.
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yes.
Has a man.
Yes.
With nipple gauges.
I was like, I can't. I need to look at this guy, but I can't. That's extremely rude.
Wow.
And I need to point it out to everybody. Hey, look at that man with nipple gauges. But I can't because social constraints are keeping me down.
Yeah. Like, I understand it's socially acceptable to get piercings and things mm-hmm. to an extent. But me, with an eyebrow tattoo, right? All I can think of when somebody has an eyebrow tattoo is like, can't you feel the bar going through your skin?
Yeah, you know when you get a tattoo and you feel the bar going through your skin?
Not an eyebrow tattoo, an eyebrow piercing. Right. I just think about how you can feel. I would just constantly be thinking about how I could feel that.
Right. Well, it's like Chloe has one right across a bar across her ear, the top of that.
It'd your girlfriend.
Like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something you notice at first. And then you get used to it. But if you don't like it whatsoever, like in your situation, you would never get used to it.
Yeah.
It would be the worst thing in the world
to
happen to you.
With your ears and things, your ears don't have a whole ton of nerve endings in them.
Mm.
Especially like the tips where most people will put like a barbell piercing.
Yeah.
Like if you have long hair, like I do.
Yes, you do.
It sits on your ears all the time, but I don't feel it there. Mm. I feel it on my neck, but not my ears.
Right.
I feel pressure. So, like, if you had a barbell, dumbbell piercing through your ear, I feel like you wouldn't feel it so mm. much as the weight of it as you move your head around and it, like, slightly pulls your ear.
Oh, it happened when she has her hair and it gets caught in there. And
oh,
it
that
pulls,
would be terrible.
And she just gets in pain.
Oh,
it
man,
so
I would
so bad
hate that.
For her when that happens.
Mm-hmm. So, have you ever seen someone who's had, like, a piercing just ripped?
I almost sneezed there, but I didn't. It was a girl at my work yesterday mm-hmm. that almost ripped her belly button piercing.
Oh, man.
We were sitting down and just hanging out. And she, like, got all woozy, and she was like, my belly button piercing almost got ripped out. And
wow.
It was still hurting her, and I was like, that sounds like the worst thing in the world.
I don't even know how those work. I don't know where
belly button piercing
part of the skin that they go into.
So if you're looking at your belly button, mm-hmm. that we've got right here, you can see. So it goes in through the top of the belly button, and then, like, kind of loops out, and you cinch it right there at the top.
All right.
So, and then little jewel, whatever you have, sits inside of the belly button, mm-hmm. and then usually on top of where the top of the piercing is.
Okay. See, I never understood how they worked.
Right.
Because to my knowledge, they just, like, poked inside. Like, if you've ever had to put a screw through drywall,
you use
a kind of screw that expands on the other side. In my head, that's what was going on down there.
Just drilling holes into people's belly buttons.
Well, no, I didn't think you were drilling a hole. I thought it was, like, a similar process.
It
goes in, like, something happens on the other side and, like, anchor
it. I know. I used to think that, too, but then I always thought, how do you take it out? Because that thing could get infected.
That's the issue
you
I've always had.
Rip it out, right?
I didn't know if there was, like, something on the other side that you could, like, mm-mm. unscrew or what. I have no understanding of how that works.
No, I understand it, but I would never do it to myself. Never mm-hmm. judge anybody for having any of these things, but I would never do it to myself,
mm-hmm.
even though I would judge them just a slight bit. Never I would never be like, hey, you're an idiot. You're stupid for having that. But in my head, I'd be like,
that could go poorly at some point.
Exactly. I never look down on you for it.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I'm not going to, like, feel like someone's an idiot for doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it screws up your whole life, like cheat gauges.
Yeah, you are an idiot.
That's kind of much. But if you have, like, a piercing in a spot, I wouldn't get a piercing. I'm not going to look at you and just think that you're a bad person
mm-hmm.
or you're unintelligent.
Right.
It's just that I would never do that.
Exactly.
Because I would only think about how this could potentially go wrong. Maybe my understanding of the risks involved with having a piercing, they're not as great as they are in my head.
What do you think some of the risks are?
So, like, one, they can get affected. Like, my girlfriend, she can only wear actual gold earrings because if it's fake, like, they have plastic ones or just, like, coated, it infects.
Ooh.
So, like, she had to get her ears re-pierced recently
mm-hmm.
because they got infected. So now she just has, like, one set of actual gold earrings and they're the only ones that she can wear.
Right.
So, like, there's things like that. Infection.
That can happen over here.
They can get pulled out.
Yeah.
Like, if you get, like, a bowl septum?
Yeah, septum piercing.
Those ones?
Pretty sure that's what it is. It's the bowl, the bull ring piercing.
Yeah, those, all I can think about when I see that, I just imagine someone, like, yanking it out of there. And that just makes me cringe.
That'd be a great way to end a fight, though. If you're dealing with anybody that has, like, a piercing.
Yeah.
Just rip it out.
That would make them so angry.
Yeah, but if you're in a fight.
Yeah,
I think that'll end it right then and there.
But what happens is if you're in a. When you're feeling pain.
Oh, that's
you're
true.
In a fight.
Yeah.
Your body focuses on the most intense and apparent pain that you can feel. And all the other ones seem to subside.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people with, like, chronic pain will, like, if it builds up and it's just so bad, they'll, like, punch a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then your fingers hurt, and the other pain that you used to feel subsides for a little bit.
Right.
But so with pain, your body, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier, about processing certain chemicals. Your body secretes endorphins, which are very similar to morphine, which reduces physical pain
mm-hmm.
that you're feeling because of the way it interacts with the proteins on the cells in your brain. So if you're in a fight, you pull out someone's nose ring.
Yeah.
All the other pain that they were feeling goes away. Now they have a nosebleed and a lot of pain and a lot of adrenaline that's about to be put in that punch that's going straight for your nose.
That's true. So the solution, you stab them, then pull it out. Because guess what? That stab wound's going to hurt a lot more than the ripping out of the piercing.
Man. Here's the thing that made me think of with, like, stabbing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain kind of knife that's illegal. Because it's, like, three blades that are twisted helically.
What?
So you stab it, and then...
That'll tear you up.
Instead of just being, like, a clean slice, it's a hole in your body.
Oh, my gosh. That's essentially like taking a, well, to me it sounds like taking a wine opener, mm-hmm. stabbing that into somebody, and then ripping it out.
Similar, yeah. It's not that intense of a helical shape.
Right, but that's what I think of. I need to see this thing.
This.
Oh, my
Lord. So it has three blades that are twisted.
Wow. And
when it goes in and comes out, it just shreds the person apart.
Wow, that is... That's intense.
Yeah.
That's like sci-fi stuff right there.
Pretty much. It's cool looking. Mm-hmm. I'll give them that.
Oh, it's a really cool looking
knife. That'll screw you up.
Oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
You are dead after mm-hmm. that. Wow.
That's why you can't carry them.
That reminds me, that's very, very sci-fi, very, I don't know, Japanese. That's what I think of when I see about that.
Japanese?
Yeah. What was that knife called? Because I thought it had a very Japanese-esque name.
Let me look down here. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's a word that...
Another pronunciation thing. Yak Komando. That's what the name of the knife is.
It's a German word.
Is it?
It's not Japanese.
It looked Japanese to me for a sec when I looked at it.
Okay.
But still.
Yeah. I can see why you would... It kind of looks like a Japanese word.
But,
I don't know. Us American-centric.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, we don't know anything about other language.
But when I thought about that... Yeah. I quickly want to return on the whole tattoo thing and the stigma around mm-hmm. it. In Japan, the stigma around that is you're, as far as I know, is that it's generally associated with, like, the Yakuza and things like that. You know what that is? You know what the Yakuza are?
No, I do not.
They're a gang, essentially, on a large scale. I guess you could... You could
also a motorcycle or a
Yakuza. Oh yeah, you could compare it to like an Italian mafia, so to speak.
Oh, so it's like the Japanese mafia.
Essentially,
that's an actual thing that I think is interesting.
But they're but that's generally what people see is that if they have a if you have a tattoo, it's generally associated to of you being in the Yakuza or mm-hmm. that idea of being in it, or in I think it's Thailand, Korea. One or two, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Thailand, I'll say. It's like illegal mm-hmm. to have body modifications like that, and there's like a whole underground scene of people doing that.
It's like really how cool. I know in the US it's a thing in like a lot of gangs. If you kill someone, teardrop next to your eye.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a thing in other countries, but right. in the US I know that's a thing.
I don't know if that is a thing in other countries. Mm-hmm. That's like there's got to be some way to signify that.
Yeah.
In other maybe
because like yeah, so something that I thought was interesting. There was a Reddit post about this recently.
Sailor tattoos.
It's about sailor tattoos. So like someone in the Navy and how all of the tattoos have a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So like a full rigged ship, a sailor's been around Cape Horn, a swallow as in like the kind of bird tattooed every 5,000 nautical miles that they've traveled.
Mm.
Just like
so each one of these things that they have means something.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it is for a lot of people. Their mm-hmm. tattoos mean something
right.
to them.
I see the why you'd want to have meaning in all your tattoos, mm-hmm. especially on the most permanent thing that you can get on your body.
Yeah.
But from what I can say is that if I was to get a tattoo, which I plan to, it either has to have extreme meaning to it.
Yeah.
Or it has to be a work of art.
Yes.
Because another thing I don't understand... People who just go and get tattoos, like crappy tattoos, or
just because I can't. Tattoos are expensive.
Hey, yeah, I know. Maybe like, or they go to a shop. It's like, $50 to get this thing on your wrist or something mm-hmm. like that. You're generally not paying for a good tattoo, and you're permanently putting that in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What is the meaning? What is the thinking behind that? I don't. Or when people get like small little tattoos. All over their arm, and then they try to like put a filler in it to make it into a sleeve.
Yes.
There's no coherency with it whatsoever. Now, if you're gonna go sleeve, I personally think you should have one theme going all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. So, Jill, we talked about us and our time in public schools.
Yes.
And as I was thinking about this, is we were the first. We didn't fully do it in a sense. We were the first freshman class
yeah.
to be integrated with everyone having a laptop, a Chromebook, as a matter of fact.
A Chromebook, man.
Yes, the indestructible slash extremely fragile
complete opposites, but it's somehow both.
I know. It's like some people, I could not destroy my whatever I did with it. But Chloe, she wrecked hers.
Oh, like, I know it.
Remember that?
Yeah. Like, you could throw this down the stairs, and it kind of turned into a Schrodinger's cat situation where either it was decimated or it was surprisingly fine.
Exactly.
And there was no in between. It's never like someone dented a screen or something. Either it blew up and was in a million chunks or it was fine. It's like a watch kind of thing where one piece goes, the whole thing is destroyed.
It was amazing to watch it all go by. Or my favorite of the whole situation, real quick, of it things being destroyed were the kids that just had like full keyboard sets of like the actual keys, but didn't have anything on their keyboard, or that they had everything and they had another full set. So it's
They just have like the rubber nipple of underneath the key that actually contacts the sensor.
Hey, for some reason one of my keys fell out. I don't know why. It's a Chromebook. These things are garbage. Do you have one? Oh yeah, I have like six. Here you go.
Despite our experiences with crappy technology from our school district.
I would actually like to ask you what you think the benefits of this could be, or any, like, do you think it's more of a benefit or a downfall to have so much of this technology integrated into our classes, or even like going 100% paperless, things like that? Is it best that we are going more paperless, technology based, or do you think we still benefit from having these older ways?
Okay, so I think that technology is really, really useful to be able to use. Mm-hmm. I am a very heavy user of technology.
What?
I know, crazy. Who would have guessed? But I know that a lot of the things that I love to do could never be done without technology.
Yeah.
It's a tool that I think is helpful to aid in certain processes. In schools, there's a lot of things that you can do in schools now, like instantly set up a classroom review for a certain topic. You just go, you search for it, everyone in the class can now connect to this and do it. It's a fantastic way to learn. But there's a lot of research that says being able to physically write something out, it's a different process than just typing it. Then, like, you internalize the words differently. So I think it's a really nice tool. It's perfect to have. But should schools go completely paperless? I don't think they should go paperless. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, students should be informed that you don't learn the same going paperless as you do using paper.
Right.
And it should be on the students to make sure that they study writing things out, that kind of thing. That would only really work, I think, maybe at a college level. Because I know in high school, if you're like, hey, you have these things, but remember, you're still going to want to use paper, I'd be like, I'm not using paper. You kidding me? If you wanted me to use paper, don't give me the laptop.
Right.
Anything like that and younger, I don't think it would work. In college, maybe. Because for a lot of college students, they're paying for their own schooling. And doing well matters a lot more than it does before.
I feel like when that comes about, the whole not caring is in, I think, in public schools, is really no matter what you do, you can pass. There's not many situations, unless you drop out, you really have to put in the bare minimal effort and you can get through high school.
Yeah.
So saying to go the extra, like this, here's this, but if you go the extra mile, it'll benefit you. No one's going to say, oh, yeah, that sounds good to me. I'll do that. The majority, 99%, I'd say, are going to say, no, we have these Chromebooks. That's what I'm going to do. My thing is that I understand what you say by that, but I think technology can have a bad impact on it, such as the distraction itself.
Yes.
Of having
I know about that distraction.
Yes. They're great machines to have, and they can benefit us immensely when it comes to learning. But the internet is a reality. And let's say you let people run free with the internet. At first, for sure, no one's going to listen to anything that's going on. They're going to be on their computers, and maybe later on they'll start being like, hey, I need to actually do something.
Yeah.
But then comes the reality of restricting things.
Yes.
And then that's when the kids think, okay, I'm only going to try to find a way to get past these restrictions. How will I do this? Maybe I'll write my own extensions.
Oh,
maybe I'll go through proxy servers.
If only we knew someone who had done that.
I know.
In high school, so we had pretty much free reign of the internet for the better part of a year. Maybe two.
2 years. I think our first 2 years. First year we got it in our freshman year. We got it at the tail end of the year, the last half. And then the second year, they'd had that. I think those 2 years is when they were like, we're just going to see what happens.
Yeah. They were just assuming that kids were going to do the right thing. Kids will not do the right thing.
They will not.
They're little monsters that love to destroy stuff.
That's true.
So, the beginning of our junior year, one day, I'm sitting down, English, my first hour, open up my computer, I go online, tells me one of my Chrome extensions has been removed. It was an ad block. So I go through, I look, I try to reinstall it. No, it's been administrator blocked. So I spent that whole hour, instead of paying attention to my English teacher, learning how to make extensions, learning how to steal other people's extensions, and implementing your own extensions without an administrator block. So I spent the whole hour making my own ad block and using that instead of the one that's now been blocked by administrators. I leave this class. I'm walking down the hallway. My friends knew I was a fairly technologically savvy person. At least I'd like to think I am. Seems like they think I am.
Mm.
Walking down the hallway, one of my friends, he comes up to me. Joe, they got rid of Adblock. And you know what I said to him? I already got it covered. So from then on, to me, it was a game. Everything that they took away, I would find a way to get back.
Right.
They had like blacklisted websites and things now. Run it through a proxy server.
Boom.
Just things like that. I would spend all my time finding ways around.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't realize at the time, though, is to me, it was fun trying to get around this sort of thing. But I learned so much about computers and code.
Right.
At the same time, I didn't even realize it was happening. Like now, my knowledge of JavaScript and HTML, I'm fairly fluent.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in JavaScript. I can, like, work around in JavaScript. But, like, HTML, CSS, they're not, like, the most difficult coding languages.
Mm-mm.
I would consider myself fluent.
That was a fun class, though.
When we took web design?
Yes.
Web design was a... We took that our senior year.
Ugh.
First half of the year, we had a teacher.
But
she wasn't great at teaching. Second half of the year, one of my favorite teachers I'd ever had. We ended up making t-shirts of this man.
This teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We made t-shirts for him. T-shirts of him. Then we gave him one t-shirt. And...
Oh, last day of school.
Oh,
so his wife...
He was really the greatest in the world.
He went home the day that we gave him his t-shirt. Apparently, he thought it was very cool because he took it home and he showed his wife. And his wife baked us all cookies. So we sit down in class the next day. And he goes, you five, I'm going to need to talk to you after class. And we're like, shoot.
The we're school thing.
Our first thought was like, we don't get in trouble. Like, this group of five kids, we're all pretty nerdy high school kids. That's why we now have a podcast about learning things.
What a series of events that have brought us here.
But so our thought was, we're suspended. The school thought this was like gang related. So he takes us into a separate classroom. Pulls out a big bag, starts handing us cookies.
Oh my!
It was so cool.
It was so good too.
Teachers like that is what makes me want to teach.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like he was a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He was a teacher who was respected, but knew how to have fun.
Mm-hmm. He made me want to come into class.
Exactly.
And do my work.
And yep.
Do the best I could. There's something beautiful about that.
Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
We're talking about technology. Okay. Also. Another thing with this technology is, I forget who, I think another one of our teachers we were talking about was talking about the effect of Netflix and how it has dramatically affected the test scores
mm-hmm.
of average students. And if I can find this study, I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
To put in the notes. But I remember talking to him and finding it so interesting that this thing that we take as now basically TV. I would say Netflix and Hulu and things like that are our generation's TV.
Yep.
Is affecting us so badly that it is ruining test scores. And then they give us a whole computer.
Yes.
And they expect us to not do anything.
No, and just we started watching Netflix in class.
Exactly. Netflix in class. Then we'd pirate movies. Of course. Then if we had to, we'd go to Joe and be like, Joe, everything's black. He got us.
It's
and he
true.
Helped us out. So it's the benefits, I think, are great. But man, our kids not going to take advantage of these benefits.
No, no. Kids, like I said, they're little monsters. They're going to destroy it. My brother, he's a little bit older than me. When we first got these things, he was currently a college student. He was in like his junior year of his undergraduate. And he would tell me about the things that he did in high school. And then I told him about how we got these. And he looks at me and he goes, if you ever want something broken or fixed, give it to a group of high school students. And it's so true. Because if it needs to be fixed and it'll benefit high school students, mm-hmm. they'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also so good at destroying things.
They have such motivation for the weirdest of things.
I know.
And then other times, you don't feel anything towards anything.
Yeah.
My favorite thing always was, well, one of the things that happened once is one of my keys on my Chromebook. I, from my friend group, kept one of the most pristine Chromebooks.
This is true. You did.
I don't know how it happened. Mm-hmm. I just knew how to take care of my stuff. But there was a key on it. It was, you press the key and it showed you commands. And like if you hit control and then it would show you, oh, you hit control Z and yeah. you go back. That button disappeared one day.
Okay.
Do I know what happened to it? To this day, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of ours, Steve, I think you know what Steve I'm yeah. talking about. We'd have to check in our Chromebooks, and he'd always be in the same class as us. And I'd say, Steve, I need another button right now. He'd pull it out right away. He always had another one ready to go.
Steve, his friend, he if anyone left their computer charger in class, he took it, and it was now his computer charger. If they left this computer in class, it went in his backpack.
Really? I didn't know about the actual computer.
He would put it in his backpack. And if they asked for it back, he'd give it to him. He never stole them. Chargers, yes, they were his. He stole them. Computers, he'd take them, though. And, like, he would give them back if people asked around for them. So, me, I took my Chromebook, made it through 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in my fourth year, there was a slight break in it. And other people would destroy their computers. I had a tiny break. They charged me $25 to
fix. I've seen kids have their whole entire, just where the keyboard is, mm-hmm. that whole entire space, you could lift it up.
Yes.
That was insane what some people would do to their Chromebooks.
Anyways.
The hinges would be gone. They'd be held together by duct tape. They'd be like, I don't know what happened to it. It just broke.
I was, my Chromebook went out for repairs. I gave them my charger with the Chromebook. They gave me a replacement Chromebook
mm-hmm.
and another charger. I go back to them. Their chargers that they gave you had like a pink band around it. Yeah. That way you couldn't steal them. I gave the replacement Chromebook and the charger back to them because my original Chromebook had been fixed. They give it to me. No charger. I'm like, hey, I gave you a charger. And they're like, I doubt it. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So I had to go to our friend Steve and get another Chromebook charger from him.
I think at one point he had like six of them
yeah.
in his backpack.
Yeah, he just carried them around.
Just on standby mm-hmm. for anybody. Oh,
but so like again, with these things falling apart, that's another issue that you can have with technology, is it breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were, it's not the SAT. It's like an online standardized test that everybody had to take.
That sounds familiar.
We go in, we're taking it. We all open up, crack them open, the Chromebooks. And he opens his, and as he's opening it, he pulls the screen up, the hinge disengages, and he pulls the screen completely off. Remember, this is like a test as important as taking like the SAT or the ACT or something. He pulls it completely off. He's like, oh man. So then he looks at his Chromebook. Now it's just like the part with the keyboard. He lifts it up. The keyboard falls out of it at him. And then he picks that up. He looks at our proctor for the test and goes, I don't think I can take this.
I don't think I can take this.
this.
So our test was delayed 20 minutes. They walked him down to a computer lab and had him take this test.
Oh, my God. Steve. Another problem that comes with technology is our school does not have the infrastructure to carry support 1,000 kids.
2,000? Yeah.
Yeah, having Chromebooks. There were so many times where I would be, well, let's say like that test, I believe, there would be server issues.
Yes.
Always, mm-hmm. because there's an influx of kids doing this. And over 4 years, they were like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
Every time always problems came up, there was there's just bad infrastructure when it comes to handling.
And their IT department?
Subpar.
I was running circles around them. Like, if they wanted to stop me from doing the things that I had done in high school, totally could have.
Mm-hmm.
But they never did. Who did they think was figuring out all of this stuff that allowed students to be mischievous?
That's true. Also, a lot of our teachers, I feel, were technologically illiterate when it came to using the Chromebook.
I 100% agree.
One of my teachers, my English teacher, as a matter of fact, I didn't do my work on time. Still, I've gotten much better at it, but I did not at the time. And always, every time, she didn't catch on, but I wouldn't have my thing ready. She would say, turn it in. And everybody would turn it in. And I'd walk up to her with my Chromebook and be like, hey, I don't know what happened, but I did write this. And then everything just disappeared. She'd be like, well, what do you think happened? I'd think, well, I did download a new extension a couple of days ago. Maybe that like messed with it, didn't quite save it. I was offline, yada, yada, yada. And I would make my way through this whole entire thing. I'd make up everything.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, oh, that's totally what happens. No, it's not.
She had no clue how computers work.
That doesn't make sense. An extension messing with Google Drive and saving, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you think that is true? So then it's just mischievous kids with Chromebooks that are bad. Well, they're not bad. They're great, but they're terrible at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know what just happened? There was something I wanted to talk about, and I forgot it.
Oh, man.
And then I remembered it, and then I forgot it again.
Oh, my God.
It had something to do with extensions. Maybe I'll remember it later on. But who knows? Oh, nope. Dang it. It was there, and then it was gone.
Hey, Antonio.
What's up, Joe?
You want to ask Reddit?
I think it's time to ask Reddit.
This is a little segment where we like to go to ask Reddit, and we'll answer some questions. First question.
Yeah.
What are you jealous of?
What am I jealous of? People who can do things with motivation. Like, people have motivation all the time, that nothing stops them, that they're just able to do things. Like, I want to do this, and then they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would love to be able to do that, and I know I can do it, but there's... I just don't have that motivation that, like they do. There's something about that, and I'm extremely jealous of that. I wish I could do that. What about yourself? Do you have anything that you're extremely jealous of?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Hey, what's your favorite movie described poorly? It's like you want to explain the movie to people where people can think about it, but you don't want to.
I can't think of a way to describe this poorly. How would you do it?
A kid with bad hearing drives around with friends.
Yeah, I can get behind that. What's the most rebellious thing you've ever done?
So I've never been a very rebellious kid. I mean, I've broken rules here and there, but I think the whole of my rebellious stage was when I had gotten a detention in, like, sophomore year for going on my phone in class. That's about the most rebellious thing I've ever really done. Not really much of a rebel with a cause, as some might say.
I know. Most rebellious thing that I've ever done happened unintentionally.
What'd you do?
Once again, back in high school.
Hey-o!
The Chromebook era.
I think from now on, High school is to be referred as the Chromebook era.
I can get behind this. I like the Chromebook era, in parentheses, high school.
Yep.
So, we got a new principal our senior year. He was a...
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of became like a meme of sorts within the high school. So one day, what I did was I took his Google profile picture and I went way back into the school servers and dropped it into a random file, right? Because I thought it would be funny in like 4 years when some random IT guy just finds this file. Little did I know, 10 minutes before I had even logged on to this computer, a whole bunch of server information had been wiped out of that specific file.
Oh my gosh.
And this was a teacher's file. So all of the students' documents mm-hmm. disappeared. And it was just left with this picture of our principal.
I didn't know. I knew it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was that exact file.
Yes.
Like, imagine how malicious that looks. Yeah. File gone and principal there.
That's exactly how it was.
Oh my
gosh.
So
the principal walks me down to his office. Slides a piece of paper across the desk with just a screenshot of this file with that. I'm like, oh, this? And I explained to him that, like, all I did was put a picture in the file. He explains to me that a whole bunch of stuff got deleted. And then he takes a look at my classes and he goes, you're in robotics, computer science, web design. He's like, I feel like if you wanted to cover your tracks, you totally could have. I don't really think you did this. But we're gonna have to pursue this anyways. I ended up with an extended detention.
Okay, so if he understands that you didn't do it,
mm-hmm.
still getting you in trouble, I get the
idea
of it.
It was still
technically
misuse of a school server.
I get the idea of it, but...
I could have been suspended and not been able to use computers for the rest of the year.
That's true. Kind of like those kids who downloaded CSGO onto their computers.
That's true. That happened years we were even there.
Years and years before we were there. This was in our architecture area class. Mm-hmm. About three or four kids. No, six of them. There was like six kids. And what they did is they found a way to put CSGO, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, onto their computers and play it while they're in class. Our teacher had no idea about this. She just thought they were doing, you know, work in class, being good kids. And one day, the principal and I think a principal and an IT tech guy came in. They said, you, you're coming with us.
Yeah.
They all left, and for the whole entire year, they were not allowed to use the computers whatsoever, and they had to do everything in architecture by hand, while usually you're able to use a CAD system. And that's sort of like your situation,
except they got off easy. They were also doing actually malicious things, like playing video games in class.
That's not malicious. That is irresponsible.
They shouldn't. It happened before class. And it took me 30 seconds. I just went click, 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 drag and drop.
Right. That was a joke. That was nothing bad. What they're doing was bad, but it wasn't like intended to hurt anybody. It mm-hmm. wasn't malicious. It was dumb. It was stupid. Idiot.
This is true.
Hey, what's your biggest waste of time?
My biggest waste of time?
Yes.
Oh, man. Probably YouTube or Reddit, honestly, though. Like, I think that both of those are super good mediums for finding things out. Getting invested into a certain community, but I waste so much of my time on both of those things.
Boom.
What's something that should be more socially acceptable? Nope, this one's been deleted. Never mind.
I was going to talk. Well, let's talk about something that should be socially unacceptable that I hate.
Okay.
When people see couples and they're like, oh, when are you going to have a baby?
Oh.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I
didn't even know.
Why?
That's not a thing that you should ask people.
I know.
Because
there's not a good answer. Exactly. There's so many factors that go into it. Maybe they want kids and they can't have kids and you just brought up something bad. Maybe they don't want kids. Maybe they're trying. Stop asking them that.
Yeah. You should.
Who cares?
It's not the kind of thing you should ask someone.
Exactly. It's not your business. I'm not even in that situation and it gets me upset.
I understand that completely. What's the worst lie you've ever been caught in?
The worst lie I've ever been caught in? That's a tough one. A lot of my lies that I've done over the years mm-hmm. have been very inconsequential.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe I got caught doing something. When I got caught smoking weed.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so it sort of was a lie, and then I ended up telling the truth. So getting caught in a sense was of my own fault, but it's still getting caught in the lie because I straight up lied to them. So I'd gotten in trouble with this, and I kept trying to lie and lie. And then at one point in my head, I thought, I'm just going to stop doing this because, yeah. Like, not stop smoking weed. I don't smoke weed anymore. But, I'm not. Why lie?
Yeah.
What is that going to do? I'm just going to get in trouble either way. One way is going to be easier. So at one point, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm high. And they're like, go to bed, Antonio. And I went to bed. Got in trouble after that. But, I mean, there is that.
Mm-hmm. See, for me, I've never gotten caught in a bad lie.
Mm-hmm.
Any lie I've ever told that could have ended panned out perfectly. Just exactly the way that I want it to. And it's like, when I was younger, people always told me that I should act, like even in high school,
mm-hmm.
because apparently I'm a very convincing liar.
Yes, you are. I 100% agree with everybody that says that. No, lies are just, they're good at in some
sense. Oh, what random fact would you like to share with the internet?
Well, I don't have a random fact.
I have one.
Of course you do.
We will only ever be able to explore, and this is the best possible estimation, one half of a 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 percent of the observable universe. That's such a small amount.
I know. With so much empty space, I mean, what is there to even look at as well?
That's true. Maybe outside of the observable universe.
Yeah.
Our known laws of physics break down. But that's a whole other episode.